Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our subject today, evangelizing ourselves. Today's guest, Carrie Ann McGuire. In Genesis 2, verses 18 to 24, we read, Yahweh said, "It is not right that man should be alone. I shall make him a helper." So from the soil, Yahweh God fashioned all the wild animals and all the birds of heaven. These he brought to the man to see what he would call them. Each one was to bear the name the man would give it. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of heaven, and all the wild animals. But no helper suitable for the man was found for him. Then Yahweh God said, "Make the man fall into a deep sleep." And while he was asleep, he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh up after. Yahweh God fashioned the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She is to be called woman because she was taken from man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and becomes attached to his wife, and they become one flesh. It is clear from the very beginning of mankind, we need each other. We are social beings. However, the COVID-19 pandemic has caused us to narrow our social relationships. Since then, we have moved to no movies, no eating out, no sports events, concerts or plays, no in-person schooling for kids, to a hectic, crazy mishmash of regulations causing massive unemployment, marked increase in poverty, domestic abuse, mental illness, and a host of poorly educated children. But hope is on the horizon with the development of the vaccine known to effectively prevent the pandemic virus and move us back to some state of normalcy. We will soon have a chance to renew old friendships, work groups, faith-sharing groups, and other activities so needed by all social beings. But we need more than people and social interaction to be fully alive. Blaise Pascal, a 17th century French mathematician, physicist, and religious philosopher, says, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man that cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ." So it makes sense that we should look to the church for our social wellness along with our spiritual wellness. Today's guest, Carrie Ann McGuire, stepped down from her role as communications director for Prince of Peace Parish, the fourth largest in the Houston, Texas area, with over 10,000 households, to form a ministry for women that was put on her heart by the Holy Spirit in 2005. Called Catholic We, it became a lay apostolate in December 2015. "There is something so beautiful," she said, "when women of faith gather together to pray and worship, have fellowship, and serve alongside one another in the name of Jesus Christ." Let me introduce her. Carrie Ann McGuire was born and raised in Tulsa, Texas, Oklahoma. She graduated from St. Gregory Junior College in Suwanee, Oklahoma, with an associate in art degree, and earned a bachelor's of art from Oklahoma State in journalism, with a public relations emphasis and a minor in sociology. She has worked at various companies in public relations, marketing, and advertising, and started her own firm, Kelly McGuire Communications, in 2006 as a freelance writer and a communications strategist. She has been a contributing writer for Texas Catholic Herald, the Archdiocese newspaper, for 10 years. In 2015, she founded a women's ministry at her parish, Prince of Peace Community, called Catholic We, that is drawing a national audience. Carrie is currently in the process of forming a ministry, Loving Stones, gathered together helping to equip Catholic churches in the formation of disciples and apostles with their parish. She lives in Houston, Texas with her husband, who is a banker, and more importantly, at least to us, is a catechist in their church, Prince of Peace, in Houston. Welcome, Carrie, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. It's such a pleasure to have you on our show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Carrie, why don't we get right to it? Tell us all you can about what suffocating life you had that led you to look at the church differently.
When I said suffocating, I meant it was just hard to take a breath. I was so busy. I got married when I was 25, and we had children when we were 31 and 33. So the first part of our marriage was about working. You got your college degree, you're focusing on professionalism and in your career. We went to church on Sundays. I wasn't very involved. It wasn't until I had children that I realized I can't do it all. I was a perfectionist, and I put everything into my work. So now I had divided interests, and I was obviously going to pick my children. So when I said I couldn't catch my breath, I just felt so anxious and stressed out that I realized later what was missing was Jesus. My focus was on secular, on worldly things. And so having a family was the best thing I could have done, because it made me realize just how much I needed Jesus and my Catholic faith to truly.
Kids are great teachers, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Such a blessing.
Carrie, you said in your information you sent me that you started Catholic Way as a ministry, and then in 5 years or so, it became a lay apostolate. What is the difference?
Well, I think a ministry is what I did as a communications professional. I was brought into the church to start the communications department. I was fully equipped to do the website, write copy, all the bulletin. So I brought in a lot of skill set, and that was ministry to me then. And so ministry could also be worship. It could be sacramental initiation. So it's all those functions of the church. A lot of pastoral, a lot of shepherding going on. So really the ministry is about what we're all called to do. We're called to bring forth the kingdom of God, and we're called to bring others to Jesus. So a church does that by serving its parishioners and those who come to the doorsteps for help. So what I meant by Catholic We, I see it more as a lay apostolate. I kind of see that as the fruit of ministry that I had from the parish. So the lay apostolate, I am guided by my pastor. I have guidance from the new evangelization ministry, but truly it's run by lay people. I founded it, but I would never say that the ministry is just me. I have so many wonderful and beautiful sisters in Christ that have made it what it is today. It is actually 5 years old this month. So it was an idea born in my heart. It stands for Catholic Women Experience. And what it's about is just getting us to experience Christ through each other. We pray together, go to 9 a.m. Mass. We do book clubs. We do small group. So it's a lay apostolate with beautiful sisters in Christ working together to keep the fires of Christ burning in our hearts.
So how did you go about starting this?
So I had an in, obviously, as a former staff member. Mm-hmm. So I brought the idea up to the pastor and to who would have been my staff liaison. We had a new evangelization department ministry. So they encouraged me and said, go for it. So I literally put a bulletin announcement in and said, hey, if you're looking to have fellowship with sisters in Christ, come to Mass. And I had no idea who was going to show. And I had about maybe 5 or 6 people, maybe 10, because I had worked. So I kind of, you know, put the feelers out with the people that knew me professionally as the communications person. And it just grew from there. If somebody's interested in something, we would try it. We've done everything from painting, a little painting party where you're, you know, strictly social, to going to adoration together, to helping with the reconciliation service as volunteers. I mean, we've done a lot of things. And so if a sister in Christ was like, hey, let's try this, if somebody would help me lead it, we typically would do it.
So how many women do you have in your group now, do you think?
So it has grown organically. We don't have a membership dues. Mm-hmm, we don't mm-hmm. have a strict roster. Mm-hmm. I have a list of about 500 to 600 people that have done something with the ministry over the 5 years. Some people everything, some people maybe one thing. So yeah, it's a different structure. People ask me, when are your monthly meetings? I'm like, well, we don't have them. We mm-hmm. just experience things together, and I put the notice out there, and like God, he'll build it and say they'll come, and here they are. It's through the Holy Spirit. Cool. I just trying to be docile to where he's leading me.
Now, how has that affected your life and your relationship with other people?
I will say that I have grown so much more deeply in my relationship with Christ by fellowshipping with my sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned the story of creation, and Eve was created for relationship with Adam. So mm-hmm. women are built for relationship. And mm-hmm. I will have to say, just to back up why I started a women's ministry, I felt that because I did mom's Bible studies, I did mom's club, I did women in the spirit retreat, I did women facilitated things within the parish, that I wanted to give back. And I knew that there was something special with the relationships I had with my sisters in Christ. That is what fueled me, fed me, just made me come alive. And so I wanted to share that. Mm-hmm. So it has made me a better person, as Matthew Kelly would say, a better version of myself.
Better version of yourself, the best yep, version
absolutely.
You can be. Yes. Well, that's so good. Now, I'm always excited to hear about women's groups because, you know, if you ever listen to my shows or if you ever read anything I'm writing, I always talk about how important men are in the family and how dads are so important, and we just need to get our dads moving and kick their butts a little bit. So this, sometimes I think I sort of ignore women. So this is really exciting. Women's group, I see them as working, you work as helping people with their marriage, helping people raise their kids. And how does Catholic We address those two issues of marriage and children?
So I would say that it's about a conversion of heart. So mm-hmm. The main mission, it's we and not I. It's mm-hmm. we come together because we're all unique, different personalities and skill sets and charisms. But the one thing we have in common is having a heart for Christ. We want to get closer to him. Mm-hmm. So the whole concept is keeping the fires of Christ burning in our hearts. So if Catholic We can do that, we're going to be better wives. We're going to be better mothers. We're going to be better sisters. We're going to be better workers. We're going to be able to go out to our communities beyond the church walls and be an influencer. It's not a club based on interest. Yeah, well, we're interested in our faith, but it's really an apostolate of influence. We want to influence the life 100% toward Christ so we can be the better person for everybody else. Mm-hmm. We do read books. We read books on, it's not strictly marriage or just parenting, but really more about faith. But when you get into small groups, people bring up issues with marriage, or, you know, you celebrate together, you talk about trials and difficulties. So really through fellowship with each other, we learn from each other. And what you might tell me might help me with my marriage mm-hmm. or with my child. And one thing we did that was really neat, it was called We Sow, and it's sharing our wisdom. And we matched older moms and grandmothers up with the younger moms. And just the wisdom that they had was so amazing. And then we also learned from the younger moms because they have such new ideas and they're in a whole nother generation.
Don't say it.
they help them with their grandchildren. Yes. So it's so inspiring and encouraging.
Now, I talked a bit about men's groups. Do you have any kind of a similar men's group for the We program?
So no, it's strictly for women. But on the other hand, you mentioned when you introduced me that I'm starting another lay apostolate, and I'm starting it with a brother in Christ. Gary and I have talked about, he says, gosh, I wish there was a men experience. Mm-hmm. And so our new apostolate is Loving Stones. And I think naturally that might happen. Loving Stones, and it's brand new. I mean, we're the initial stages, but we just know that to build up the kingdom of God at the parishes, we're trying to build loving stones, not just living stones, as the Bible says. Yes, mm-hmm. we're supposed to be living stones. Loving stones is how we do it. We do it through love. Mm-hmm. So by forming disciples and forming apostles, we're being sent out. So hopefully if somebody is praying and discerning and has an interest put on their heart, and let's say it's somebody like you who would like to do a book club with the men's group or get something started, hopefully that will happen. And I know they're out there. Just my particular parish doesn't have one yet. All it takes is just someone to say yes to their fiat. If they're called to do it, it's just a yes. And I have to, this is so important to say, is you do not have to know everything. You don't have to be the end all be all. I mean, if I waited to know everything before I started the We Ministry, it would not be happening. It's that's why you have a group of people. You, sure. You all follow each other. And if I need a theologian, I'll go find one. So it's really about sharing your unique gifts and talents and having fun and just, you know, being on fire for Christ. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. It's fun. It's wonderful. It's so much better. I'm breathing a lot better.
You're no longer suffocating.
A lot more.
You know, when I was in Atlanta many years ago, I used to read and I would say to myself, I wonder what young people think about this book. And I would say, I wonder what those old guys, because I was pretty young then, what those old guys think. So I started the book club, and we had two high school boys, and we had one college kid, and we had some people your age and some even as old as I am. And it was so interesting how we would look at a different issue the same. And one of those kids stayed with us through college, through medical school, through his residency. And he's right now a soon to be colonel in the United States Air Force in the medical corps. And he's stationed at Walter Reed doing pediatric infectious disease. I'm so excited about him that I know him. But the thing I found is that men, we used to meet once a month and discuss a whole book. And that was kind of fun, a lot of fun, actually. It was really good. And then when I went to a town north of Tennessee for a few years, and we started a group up there, and that was even more interesting because we had a whole different group kind of people. And then it came down here, and there's one at Holy Family. And I'll tell you about that a little bit more later. But Holy Family, when I moved in there, I heard about this program called FRED. FRED stands for Family Religious Ed, FRED. And it is a group of families that get together every Sunday between Masses, and they have a religious theme as they discuss. And the first half of the program is always a mixture of the families, kids, adults, and everybody. And then at the halftime, they break, and one of the adults takes each age group out to a different room, and they discuss things on the level of the kids, and the ones who are left discuss things on their level. And they change off the group leaders for the kids each week. I think it's just been a great thing. And if you'd like to know more about that, you can go to my website, parenting-matters, and check on episode 8 that talks about FRED. Some of my own kids and grandkids went there and they enjoyed it. It was the oxygen they needed.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That sounds like a wonderful program. You know, I write for the Texas Catholic Herald, and that's the archdiocesan newspaper. And what I mainly focus on is ministries that are supported by the Diocesan Services Fund. So I get to meet a lot of neat, wonderful people in ministry. And when I interviewed the ministry in charge of faith formation and evangelization, she said that when COVID hit, faith formation pretty much stopped at church and it moved to the home. So the now online resources available for parents from the Archdiocese and their national companies that gave the material started producing it for free and giving it for free because they knew it was coming into the home. So I will say that's maybe the fruit of COVID, if we could say, is that there's a lot more online resources, and all the ministries have said that people are actually getting more trained and engaged because they can go via Zoom. Houston is so big that to get to a church for training has been difficult with traffic and work. And so I would say that the online tools out there are growing, and that's very exciting because you're absolutely right. It needs to come home. And the We Ministry, that's what we're trying to do, is get these women so on fire that their kids are like, they see the faith. It's not just catechetical. It is like lived. So a combination of the lived with the faith formation, I think, is what we're all getting. And so that has been a blessing to have more online resources out there.
Well, education of all kinds begins in the home. There's no question about that. And and if we have to get our parents, you know, I often said, and I'm sure Tom has heard this before too, if you lived in Wisconsin and you couldn't take the cold anymore and you moved down to Tennessee and you wanted your kids to be Packer fans like you were in Wisconsin, how would you make that happen? You wouldn't lecture them every day about how great the Packers are. You'd get a cheese hat and you'd wear that around and the kids would make fun of you, but pretty soon they'd have their own hat. And then you'd get a couple of Packer jerseys and you'd watch the Packer games and you'd go on the Packers website, whatever it's called, and your kids would learn about the Packers. Now, do you have that kind of a feeling that the Catholic we mothers can do that or are doing that and to their children?
I think so. You know, it's interesting. And this is another point. So when people are looking at bringing ministry to their parishes, they really need to see what is available, what's needed, and kind of bring our sources together, because we have such an amazing ministry for mothers that I do get some of those women in the WE activities, but they have such a strong group that I don't have to recreate the wheel. They're already doing that. So mm-hmm. the Catholic WE ministry, I get more of the people like me with the older children who are mm-hmm. kind of out of the phase of play groups and they're in school. And I get a lot of grandmothers. Mm-hmm. And I will say that with COVID, we keep doing things via Zoom because of health concerns, right? And we can't meet in the church, but the women miss it. They miss the in-person community. And I asked somebody the other day and said, you know, what do you miss about Catholic WE, about meeting in person? And they're like, just being together, praying together, just being together. And, you know, we tell our kids, you know, you are who you hang around. That is so true. I laugh at that because I'm like, it is. And we need to follow their advice. We have to be secular. We have to work and, you know, go be disciples and be sent as apostles into the world. But our faith community keeps us breathing that oxygen of the Holy Spirit, keeps us alive, keeps us equipped so we can be those role models for our children and for basically the world. Really, we're supposed to be the light. So you kind of get your, you know, flames going and kindle your heart so you can be the light for others.
So. You know, Houston is a big place for colleges. Do you have anything for college kids? Because I think that college kids are just inundated every day with anti-religious, not just overtones, but just straight out anti-religion. What can you do for those kids?
Yeah, I mean, our archdiocese is huge. And I've written some articles about young adult groups that parishes try to put together. And I think what I've learned, and Catholic WE doesn't have a lot of young people. We do have some, but sure. It's really not geared right to their specific needs. But I think a lot of, like, one program that was successful is three parishes actually put together a young adult group. And so they would go to one parish to maybe do something athletic and then do a Bible study at another one. And so they kind of rotated parishes and service projects. And so, you know, I think they kind of got creative with it and said, we can't be everything for everyone, but our strength is this. Come and join us. So I hope the archdiocese and the parishes have things for college students. And I actually have a son in college, so I understand exactly how important that is. Mm-hmm. But I think the best way to reach your college-age kids is to be a good example and a role model and to help encourage them and to love them. And yes, and to find opportunities for that peer interaction and to get them in front of good peer role models as well is very, very critical.
Be the person you want your kids to become.
Yes. Do as I say. Exactly.
Carrie, is there any place people can get more information about your, do you have any website or some literature available for them?
I do. And it's kind of under construction. I have a website that's active and working. It's CatholicWE.com. Mm-hmm. So they can go to CatholicWE.com. Mm-hmm. But we're in the process of wanting to share material. So if we've done some book clubs, we've actually written our own discussion guides or used pieces of a discussion guide by the author. We put a lot of materials together for our own group. So we're looking at ways we can share that with other women. And the Zoom has been so beautiful. I've had people join us actually from Nashville. I've had people from all over the country, and they're usually friends of friends or sisters mm-hmm. that don't have something at their parish. So I would say that I just recommend for women to, you know, don't be afraid to try to start something new if you feel like it's missing. I hear that a lot. Oh, you have such a strong parish. But I'm like, yeah, but we had to step up and do it. We had to do it and pray on it and discern on it and help each other. So, yeah, I would say gocatholicwe.com, and then the Loving Stones will have a website as well.
Be sure to leave that information with Tom so he can pass it on, because he's in charge of that kind of stuff for our diocese. Well, we are about out of time. Thank you so much, Carrie, for sharing this time with us. Thank you to our listeners. Without you, we wouldn't exist. You are listening to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. Before I sign off, one quick story. 12 years ago, my wife and I moved to Brentwood and began to attend Holy Family Catholic Church. I soon learned about a men's reading group that meets every Friday morning at 6:15. Now, I've never considered myself a morning dove, but I've more about joining the group. They had an unusual way of introducing themselves to and a new member. Each of the men told what the group meant to them and how long they'd been involved and how it had affected their lives and their families. It was astounding to hear these men give so much praise to the time they spent together. Each Friday, some 10 to 20 men gathered to discuss a chapter of a book we were reading or some of the scriptures if we were reading them. We often got off track, but whether on track or off track, we built friendship. We learned about our religion, our church, the saints, most importantly, how to improve our lives through commitment to other men, to people who would hold us responsible. Several years later, a young man in his mid to late 20s joined the group. He had a positive attitude and was active in the discussion, a real asset to the group. I really liked him. He was a wonderful guy. But a year and a half after he joined the group, he invited us to attend the Easter Vigil that Saturday, saying that he was going to join the church. And we were all just amazed to hear that he wasn't Catholic, but were excited to share with him his baptism and confirmation and Eucharist at that first Easter Vigil. He said he joined the group because right after he proposed to his girlfriend, who was a member of Holy Family, because he wanted to see what kind of men Catholics were. He liked what he saw. He proved to all of us that men need community, fellowship, and friends to hold us accountable and to provide the oxygen that Carrie mentioned earlier in the show. Now for your homework, get your spouse and family together. Go to www.parenting-matters.com. That's my website in Nashville, and listen to this show again. Search your parish bulletin and see what ministries are available. Then discuss with your family which ministry you and they would like to join. Then join that ministry. And if you do not find a ministry you like, call your pastor, volunteer to start one. Then return to the Parenting-Matters site and let us know what you decided. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to tell us all about it. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.